This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so Gator was off late last week, and this is your first show back since the Lions game. And, you know, they were sharp in their opener against the Patriots, I thought. And Gator, we had this question on Friday's show. The outrage scale, 10, complete outrage over what happened on Thursday.
Fire everyone.
Yeah. One is couldn't even bring yourself to care a little bit about what they looked like, right?
All right.
So on the outrage scale, Jansen was in. One of us was an 8.
Right.
Trending towards 9. The other was a 4. Where would you put yourself on the outrage scale? John, of course, played in the league 11 years, 2-time captain of Michigan. He was... It was rather hot for the way he played with the Lions, too. Local guy, Clawson native, so.
Yeah, I...
Vested. He feels vested in the local teams, you know?
Well, I will tell you, first of all, how my mood was going into the game. I was on the road when the game started. I was driving out to St. Clair Shores, out to Z's Pub to catch Joe DeRuffool playing. Mm-hmm. And I had a choice, Doug. Listen to the Tigers... or listen to the Lions. Care to guess which one I chose?
Tigers.
Well, you're right. So that tells you where my mood is right off the bat. Now, I was recording the game at home because I wanted to watch it on TV, obviously, because I know that this is what happens on Mondays. We'll talk about it. And I got to the bar and started talking with some old friends and sat down, relaxed, and watched the performance. Not the Lions, but the music. And I would... turned my head to the right towards the bar area, and they had all the TVs were on the Lions game. And I missed maybe the first half of the first quarter. So it was like 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and I'm watching the game, and I realized nobody's playing. And my give a crap about this game has gone down even worse. And then I see that whoever's out there for the Lions just isn't getting the job done. Mm-hmm. They're just not able to... to hold that line.
To do anything.
When I saw the stat that showed that they were -2 yards passing at halftime, I had to laugh. And I understand that they take the sack total and take that away from the total passing yards in when it goes to game stats. And that's what happened because there were a number of quarterback sacks. And I guess Chase Winovich got in there a couple times. It doesn't bother me. Terribly. It bothers me in a sense that nobody showed up. I mean, it bothered me in a sense that this is an opportunity for players to try to make that 53. And it would behoove them to do their best and give an effort. And it didn't look like that effort was given on anywhere near the same level that the Patriots were operating on. I'm not going to say the Lions didn't try because that's not fair. I'm saying that the Patriots' effort was far better. When you get into the backups and the third string and the fourth string and guys that are desperate to make a team and get on any by hook or by crook, whether it's to be, you know, they're a veteran and they're trying to latch on, or they're a rookie and they're trying to make it even just to the practice squad, they just want to be in the NFL. This is your golden opportunity to do it. And they wasted it. So was I upset as a Lions fan? As the fan, yes. As a commentator is what we do for our living. No, I wasn't terribly upset because I said this going into it. We're not going to see and really get anything out of it because the starters aren't playing. And that's what I care about. How am I supposed to judge what the offense is if I don't see Matthew Stafford behind that offensive line and Kerryon Johnson there and, hey, here's T.J. Hockenson and let's go with 2 tight end sets with Jesse James? You can't. Nothing's out of it. How do I decide how good the defense is going to look this year if that defensive line isn't together yet and they're the resting guys here
starters,
and there?
Two starters started the game for the defense.
I mean, so what am I supposed to do? So now you're left with, okay, how about guys I think are going to make the team and how are they doing? You know, how did Killebrew do? Well, he was all right, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. How did
Slay and Tracy Walker start on the defense? Yeah. Jelani Tavai played in the middle and then came out after a series, made you feel like they were treating him like a starter.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing. Did they give up a whole lot of points? Yes. Did it look like they were just going through the motions at times? Yes,
yeah,
it did.
They did.
So, and that's disappointing, but my outrage isn't any higher than a 3.
So you're even less than me.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Kang was a 5, by the way. But
I'm putting that in respect to how I feel as a commentator on the game to try to figure out what's going on with this team and doing the jobs that we do as a fan.
Oh, it sucks.
As a fan, it'd be above a 5. But as somebody else who's stepping back and trying to realize, okay, it doesn't mean anything, and I have to keep going with that mantra. It's a 3. It's not a 1. It's a 3.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Lions have no benefit of the doubt. Of course it makes sense to take everything in the preseason with a grain of salt. By preseason standards, that was one of the worst performances of, honestly, any game I can remember. That was so bad. But the Lions get zero benefit of the doubt because of historically what they have done. And Patricia really doesn't have much benefit of the doubt. So it's very easy to quickly conclude that the Lions are going to suck. If they had gone out and won 31-3, there'd be less jumping to the conclusion that they're going to be great, just because they don't get that in Detroit because of what's happened historically. So there's nothing that happened on Friday. I'm not mad at anyone that was outraged, because I think it's natural. It's totally natural, and you very well may be right that it's completely indicative of what this team is going to be. I'm not going to base. I mean, if you just think about it, if you do what we do for a living, or you're a beat reporter, or you're a commentator on a network, you're the guy that's called in on SportsCenter after the game, you know, you're the Lewis Riddick or the you know, whomever that they call in to analyze what they just saw, and you're asked to draw a conclusion on what you saw in that game, would you stake your professional reputation on drawing a conclusion that they're going to suck because of that game? I wouldn't.
No.
But here's what's intriguing to me moving forward. And think about it. They play the Texans on Saturday night, right? And certainly the Lions are aware of how Detroit has reacted. The organization is aware of how Detroit has reacted to that and how disappointing it was. And I'm sure Patricia and his staff aren't watching the film of that one going, all set here. Right? They're not. But is perception any reason to play your starters more on Saturday night? Is the public reaction to the performance, which is understandably a reaction of showing grave concern for what this season is going to have, the starters barely played, but is perception any reason for Patricia and his staff to say, and perception publicly, and maybe with the Lions players themselves, all right, we need to show a pulse here. And maybe we do play the starters a little bit more in week 2. Is that any reason to change your approach in the preseason? Say, okay, that was about as bad as it could be. Let's put a little bit more, and by a little bit more, I mean higher snap counts. The offensive line played for 5 plays, and then 3 of the guys got pulled. You know, I mean, there's reason. It was really, really, really disconcerting, but is it disconcerting enough behind the walls at Allen Park that if you're in the coaches meeting this morning and you're sitting down with Matt Patricia, you're saying, hey, maybe we need to give this guy some more snaps, because what we saw this past week was so bad that it's reason for concern, legitimate reason for concern outside of Allen Park and inside of Allen Park. Is that any reason to play guys more? Is perception a reason to let the starters play a little bit deeper? Is perception a reason to have a greater sense of urgency when they take the field at Houston? There is, you know, game 1 of the preseason can, not everybody would buy into this, but can be reasoned away with, look, they clearly were focused on getting snaps for guys at the bottom of the roster. What is there? 53 men make the roster. There's 90 in camp. You could make a strong strong case that that game last Thursday was for the bottom 37. The bottom 37, and probably closer to the bottom, 40.
Right.
45. That game was for them. Those were the guys taking snaps, and some of them are going to fill those bottom spots, and some of them will be handed their walking papers. They are filling a uniform for 4 weeks, and then they will be asked to leave. But should there be any consideration to inside and outside of Allen Park, hey, maybe we should put a little bit more into this game? And your answer is?
No, absolutely not. They have to have a plan of what they how they want to practice and what they want to do, and it should have nothing to do with perception of the team. It has to do with everything with the execution of what their plan is. And I doubt that their plan is, or any part of their plan is to, hey, wouldn't the fans like to see more of this? As much as I wish that they would give a little bit more than that, that's not what's going to happen, and they shouldn't stray from that. Obviously, when you rest all your starters but two on defense and pretty much everybody on offense, not necessarily the offensive line. They only played one series together, but it's indicative of what that policy is or what that strategy is. They're not going to go all out in the preseason games, nor should they. What's of the utmost importance every year in the preseason is staying healthy. In practice is where you're really working on the stuff that matters. The preseason game, that's fluff. That's stuff for, hey, we'll get the cameras out here, and okay, it's a little bit of an opportunity to showcase matchups, but you're not game planning the same way you would against a regular opponent. So it's really a glorified scrimmage is all it is. And it's not as, you're not going to get the quality out of that scrimmage as you would as if you're actually scrimmaging against a team during a week like they will on, say, Wednesday or Thursday against Houston, or like they did last week during the scrimmages and the practices they had against the Patriots. That's outside of the game. That's where you get the real benefit because you're watching your number ones go against their number ones. You're watching your twos go against their ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get more out of it than what you would in a preseason game. Preseason game, you just want to come out of it healthy, and maybe you learn something about some of the other players, but you're learning that more in practice.
In the moment of time that is the preseason, it's really hard to dismiss what your eyes are telling you. And it's really hard to dismiss the importance of each and every game. But, I mean, the moment they kick off at Arizona, none of this matters.
Right.
And you go out and win or lose the opener, those are games where the outrage or the excitement is more legit. Now, if they lose the opener, but it goes back to the same thing. The Lions have lost the benefit of the doubt historically, and so it's a lot easier to draw conclusions. Even one game is too early to draw a conclusion, but it'll be far more meaningful in the regular season. But you also, because they've lost the benefit of the doubt, the jumping to conclusions that they're going to suck is the easy button of Lions analysis. And I'm not saying it's inaccurate, but it's so easy to reach for that button and press it. Kang, do you think perception should impact what they do this week at all?
No, not at all. Listen, we all know the Lions have a perception problem, but they're never going to be able to cure that in the preseason, ever. So when you're asking, should the starters play longer in preseason game number 2, 3, or 4, the answer is no. If anything, game 1 in the preseason proved to me the backups need to play more because those are the guys that were horrible, and those are the guys that need to get better. Listen, injuries happen in the NFL every week, all the time. And for the Lions, if they happen, apparently it's going to affect them way more negatively than the rest of the league, at least from what we saw week 1, because those guys were horrific out there. Whether it was an effort problem, an execution problem, whatever it was, those guys need to get better. Now, that doesn't mean that the starters don't need to get better either, but they're going to have to do their time in practice because you can't risk getting hurt, injured in a preseason game because we saw what the backups can do. Like I said, the backups probably need to play more than the starters. And if you read the Free Press article, Matt Stafford hasn't even practiced since that game. So I don't know if he's just one starter, but I don't know. I think it's the backups that need to play more. And I think Patricia put it out there when he didn't even have Stafford practice last week.
248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Here's the feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox from Dave and Livonia. The Lions absolutely need to play guys more and show the fans something to be a little excited about. They need to sell tickets.
They don't need to sell tickets. Here's why. The NFL hands them a $270 million check before the season begins. They don't need to sell tickets. Now, would it be nice if they did? Sure. And you know what they're going to do? They're still going to sell tickets. They're still going to get almost every game sold out because we love football here. Well, but selling tickets is not something that the teams in the NFL have to do like other sports where they have to do it. The TV contract, the revenue sharing of the league takes care of so much that it's not imperative that you're at capacity when it comes to the season.
Greg and Novi writes in, what's scary regarding the Lions is they're acting as if they're a good team already, as opposed to the dumpster fire that is coming to the dump called Ford Field this fall. They're acting like they're a good team. Are they acting like they're a good team, or are they acting the way that is appropriate for the preseason? And that is, don't get carried away. Don't risk your guys to injury. Look, they did the same thing last year, and they stunk. And so, you know, the conclusion that they're going to stink again is, again, it's the easy button of analysis. I'm not saying it's inaccurate, but it's so, they make you want to press that button. They make you want to say they're going to stink again. And I get it. Believe me. I'm trying to hold off. Because drop anybody down at any moment of time and tell them to watch one preseason game of any team in the history of the NFL, and that's when you draw a conclusion, and anybody would know you don't do that.
Well, but look, it's the NFL. Things change by the week. The Lions got embarrassed in the home opener against the Jets, right? After the first play of the game, they returned the interception for a touchdown. It looks great, and then they get embarrassed. What happens a few weeks later? They embarrass the Patriots on the same field. The Patriots won a Super Bowl. I mean, it's maddening of how good you can be and how bad you can be in the same thing. It's all about preparation. So what happens in the preseason, yes, you'd like them to be better prepared for sure. But is that indicative of what's to come? Hell no.
It's week two of the preseason, and the question is, should perception, and you could say like an answer, I'd be more inclined to answer yes, the preseason. You should take it more seriously, and perception if you think the team is a little rattled. If you think the team is reeling a little bit because of the results. Now, again, you go back to how ridiculous would it be for the veterans on this team to be reeling when they didn't play and the team looked awful. 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Last week's game definitely helps those people on the fence for buying tickets. That's from an unnamed texter. Well, it was kind of ironic, and we talked about this last week. I'm not blaming anybody. It just happened. But it was a Fox broadcast, right? A local Fox broadcast. It was on Fox 2, wasn't it? Yeah. And clearly they'd slated out the game and said, all right, first TV timeout. Coming out of the first TV timeout, the second quarter. That's when we'll put up the season tickets promotion. It was 20 to nothing, and the Lions had like 4 yards.
I saw a couple of those throughout the game.
And it was like, I almost
operators are standing by.
I can guarantee that the next local broadcast, they'll have that graphic up a lot quicker just before.
Maybe they'll have to.
It really brings into question how good the backups are. Those players are going to play. No depth. See, I will tell you that I had the conclusion before the season started that they had put together a deeper team.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too.
And I'm not sure. Like, that rattled me a little bit. I'll admit it.
From the depth standpoint, I'm not going to disagree with that.
However, again, was that game for the bottom 37? Those aren't the guys that are going to be your depth. Those aren't your depth guys. Those are guys you're going to cut. Well, your depth guys are generally, 30 through 53.
Yeah, but that offensive line, didn't do any favors to anybody who's trying to evaluate what's going on.
No, but they only played 5 plays together. Now, in those five plays.
No. I understand where the start is. I'm not worried about the starters. I'm worried about because we're talking about the depth.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, that's a concern because they don't know for sure if Glasgow's going to be a starting guard. So you got a group of guys that are trying to make an impression, and I don't think there was a very good impression made there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.